Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on September 21st, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a really beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, joining us today as producer and co-host, president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lipps. And, of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie. Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Happy Friday, Joe.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. We
love
Fridays.
Yes, we do. And, so, and just at the top of the show, Mark, you will get paid today.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Excellent. I always love to hear that.
I owe the Chamber money.
All nonprofits love to hear those words. You will get paid today. Okay, good. Hey, listen, I do want to just talk a minute about our Young Entrepreneurs Academy. Joe, this should speak to you and you know, we're starting to gather our students together, and this is a 24-week program. It is $7.95 per kid, and it is basically 6th grade to 12th grade. It is essentially a business school for kids. It's one night a week, and we have an instructor for the first half, and then we have a guest speaker speaking to that topic the second half. The kids work on the first 2 weeks creating a business. And by the way, not a business for the whole class. They each work on developing their own business. And then throughout the 24 weeks, throughout the year, they build a marketing plan, a website, they get business cards, they travel to other small businesses to learn from the owners about what it was like to get a franchise or start your own business. They hear from legal. They learn about, you know, putting together contracts, all of those things. And let me tell you, we've got about 7 or 8 businesses that are being run by kids today, still in operation from those programs that they were in the last couple of 3 years. Nokia, he's got his, he sells his body surf paddles that he makes. They're handmade, and they sell in all the spider stores and online. Mm-hmm. Austin has his flavored pecans that he sells, and he and all of these guys give away a little bit of their proceeds to charity. Paloma, who has a business, has already given away her portion to charity. Has been about $5,000 this year.
Wow!
Isabel Horry, the last 2 years, Isabel Horry, who was a sixth grader at the time, and then last year Paloma, who was a sophomore at MiraCosta. Both went, because we choose one of the people in the class. Our investor panel chooses one of the students in the class to advance to the nationals in Rochester, New York, in early May. And both Isabel, as a sixth grader, with her idea and her business plan and her presentation, they have to present. And there's all these college professors and everybody out there. recruiting guys, you know, by that time when you get to the national level. And she made it to the final eight of all the kids across the country. And last year, Paloma made it to the final six. So the last 2 years, the Manhattan Beach YEA program has sent two people to the Nationals, and they finished in the top, you know, eight and six. And been written about, Beach Report, all of this. I mean, and so we're signing up people now. If you have a student, a son or daughter who's interested and has an idea or wants to think about an idea or has that entrepreneurial spirit, they don't have, many of them don't have an idea coming in. They come up with the idea in the first couple of weeks. And you sometimes can come, you can merge with a friend, and you come in and do it with a friend. We also have six scholarships that Manhattan Beach Rotary has donated, and we're meeting with some of the schools to find out if there are kids in need who have that entrepreneurial spirit and might be interested in being in the program. So anyway, it's always fantastic to see this. It's just fantastic.
Is it just Manhattan Beach students?
Nope, it's all South Bay. The guy who had the flavored pecans is from Redondo Union.
Okay.
Not only that, he was on the swim team. He was valedictorian of his class, and he had this business going on, accomplished all of that. I mean, you're going, holy cow, what an overachiever. And he does great. You'll see him at the hometown fair, at the street food cinema.
I see him every place.
Yeah, he's all
over
the place.
Yeah.
You know,
he has his booth out at the different
He was one of the kids to watch in South Bay Magazine. They profiled him in South Bay Magazine.
I saw that.
But you'll see these kids when they start out and they do their presentation. When they start out, you know, it's a typical, you know, eighth grader, ninth grader, wow, like. but by April, when they stand up and do their 5-minute presentation in front of our investor panel, which is our Shark Tank, they are concise. They are put together. We teach them to present in their style. We don't have a cookie-cutter approach to presentation. We take their style, and we mold that into the presentation. So whether it be humor or whatever. And I got to tell you, these kids are just so impressive. That's why the back of the T-shirt says, from student to CEO. And I'm just always amazed at these kids. So anyway, we're in the middle of doing that here at the Chamber, so if you have someone, please send them our way. It can be anybody in the South Bay. We are the only ones that has the rights to the program of all the touching cities. And this is a passion project of mine. I really think this could be a signature program in this area. We're an area of entrepreneurs. So.
Right. Great. Wonderful. Okay. I'm looking forward to all the events.
And then, you know, we have Joe, I want to go over some things that we got going to the Chamber first. We have just another thing, Heroes of Manhattan coming up. If anybody would like to be a part of that, that's where we're going to honor our first responders and fire, police, and lifeguard. We already have our lifeguard hero chosen. It's going to be October 17th. It is if you want to be involved in that, if you want to be a sponsor, if you want to be, someone who gives out an award to one of these, heroes, please, you know, contact us at the Chamber, because it's really going to be, a really fantastic event. It's going to be a lunch, a really nice plated lunch at Verandas at the Beach, which is over on Rosecrans. You know, we're just going to salute these guys and have a nice lunch. It's going to be fun too. We're going to have some great auction items and raffle items and silent auction items and things like that. Amy Holworth is going to host. I'm working on talking to Mary Beth McDade about. Hope she hears this, so that way she'll feel like she's forced to do it. I want her to auction off. I want her to auction off all of our items. You know, and so it's just going to be. We don't want it to be super somber. You know, we want it to be fun and filled with life and just honoring these guys. So looking forward to that.
I saw that information in the Chamber newsletter. I just posted it. There are a few details to be worked out, like ticket price and stuff. So
we're waiting to hear back from Verandas to see, and then we can start selling, because we got to start selling tickets. So hopefully. But There we go.
Wonderful.
Chambers rocking and rolling.
All right.
Wonderful. Well, we have a great show lined up for people today. This is really a huge deal for the entire South Bay. It has a lot of history, and it's something that we all, you know, have to be really aware of, because it affects all of our lives and affects, you know, first responders and everything else that goes on to make this such a great place to live. What's the current status in Manhattan Beach, Mark?
We are
the fire department.
Well, no, we're a local. The reason I wanted Dancy to be on is, so we'll go back. So we'll introduce you to Dancy. Well, why don't we introduce Dancy, and then let me talk about how this all came about.
Okay, great. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Dancy Nelson, a lifelong environmentalist. Dancy began that mission on April 22, 1970, organizing his high school's teach-in on ecology for the first Earth Day. Now, since then, he has been an advocate and practitioner of all things sustainable for a healthy planet. His Hermosa Beach home was built in 1988, taking advantage of passive solar practices and energy efficiency. The first Hermosa Beach resident to put photovoltaic solar on his roof in 1989. Mm-hmm. He bought his first electric car in 2002 and is a founding member of Plug In America. Dancy remains an active member of the community, advocating for a carbon neutral planet, and is the founding chairman of the Hermosa Beach Green Building Committee. He also sat on the commission that studied the plan to take the Hermosa Beach Fire Department county. So this morning, we're going to discuss the pros and cons of fire departments going county or staying local. Welcome to the program, Dancy. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Jackie. Good morning. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
You know, I almost want to go back to talking about green stuff.
I know.
It's like, holy cow, because I got so many. You know, Dancy,
I'll come back.
Yeah, but because before we get started, one of the things I want to do, I have solar, and one of the things I want to do is I need to hang a battery on the side of the house, right, if I want to be totally off the grid in case there's an emergency.
Yeah, that's something as it was read in the introduction, I put solar on my roof in 1999, but last summer I added that battery you're talking about.
Okay,
so, yeah,
Nancy, I got to talk to you about that, because I want to know how to do that. Because if we have the big one.
You got it.
Do you have shotguns and pistols and stuff too?
No. It's not about that. That Joe can tell you, it's never been about that.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, if there is a huge catastrophe and all of a sudden Dancy's house is lit up and he's cooking lasagna in there and nobody else has power, where do you think everybody's going to go?
Well, and again, this is a topic that we could spend a couple of shows on, but Puerto Rico, for example, a year ago after the hurricane, they have actually implemented a great deal of solar and alternative energy and battery storage for just what you're talking about. So absolutely, there's potential for getting off the grid, and in addition to the environmental positives.
So are you working with Robert Fortunato?
Yes, indeed.
And then,
as was mentioned in the introduction, he came to me when I was chairman of the Green Building Committee when he said, I've got this idea for my house. It's a little beyond the usual building code. I might need your help. And I just thanked him for coming to me, because I said, your house, Robert, can be a model for some of the things that we hope we can implement in the community. So, yeah, we met each other first in 2007, and I was sort of step-by-step with him as he did his Green Idea house.
Well, I was there for the grand opening, and holy cow, I'm going, wow, I want to do this. And then the other guy who I know has the green building over on, well, now it's PCH in El Segundo. I just blanked on his name. He lives in Manhattan Beach, but he sells green building materials.
The good news for me, and I say the good news for all of us, is even though there were just a handful – thinking about this, you know, even just 10 years ago, it's becoming more and more mainstream, and builders are implementing because it just makes sense. It makes sense
It makes sense, right. It makes sense from both sides because both people are saving money. You know, if you're using both sides
and the
of
more
the paper,
people that do it, you know, with volume, the costs come down, and we're seeing that.
Right.
And it's very exciting for someone like me who, thank you for the kind introduction, who really has been tried my best to be mindful of this all my life.
I'm waiting
e-bikes.
I'm waiting for the e-bikes to come down so I don't have to spend what Jackie spent on hers.
that'll happen too.
It was a gift, Mark. I didn't spend a cent. It was a gift.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, the whole reason I found Dency, I got your name from Tom Backley.
Yeah.
At Beach Cities. And one of the things I've been thinking about, because I go to every city council and I'm very involved with the city here in Manhattan Beach. And, you know, in the past, when we looked at this idea of taking our fire to county, you know, the pitchforks came out and said, no, you're not going to take our local firemen away from us. And, you know, there was a lot of myths about what that might mean to a city. And I thought, okay, so I need to get a fire chief on here to talk about it. And I thought, well, no, the fire chief's going to have that from their perspective. And I said, well, I'll get somebody from the city. No, the city's going to have that from their perspective. And so I was looking and I was asking Tom, I was having lunch with Tom, and I said, Tom, I need someone who's in the middle, who can talk to me, who's explored it, who's not a police or a fireman or is not with the city, but really went down and measured the pros and cons. And he said, well, you should talk to Dency. So who's Dancy?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it all started. He gave me your information. And the background on this is that it's probably no secret, but, you know, Redondo is looking at going county. And if Redondo goes county, our whole mutual aid thing goes out the window, and probably Manhattan Beach will need to go county. Plus, Manhattan Beach's take on it from the city standpoint is this will save them money, prepare for that down the road for that pension tsunami that's coming towards us. So that's how it all started. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get some thoughts on it, and Dency, that's how it all began. I love to get the pros and cons.
Well, Mark, you're quite right about Tom's recommending to talk to me, because at the beginning, and I'll step back in a second, as I said, the prelude to why this became crisis for Hermosa Beach, but at the outset, there was a solicitation for citizens to comment on, you know, should we consider going to Los Angeles County Fire? And I'll say right now, it's Los Angeles County Consolidated Fire District. But for the rest of our conversation, we'll just say County Fire. Or staying with the Hermosa Beach Fire Department. And I will tell you, I was among those from the outset, and I did write a letter saying, and you said the pitchforks coming out. It was like, oh, my God, we can't lose our Hermosa Beach Fire Department. It's part of our branding. It's part of our Hermosa pride. And that was something that I usually would never do and counsel other people. Don't comment or react until you do your homework. And I was guilty of that because it was a gut reaction without really learning the facts and learning some information. But, Tom, seeing that I, you know, was one who would ultimately be conscientious about that process, but coming into it said, oh, no, at all costs, you know, whatever it takes, we've got to sustain our Hermosa Beach Fire Department. And now I'll just backtrack a second and say, when I mentioned the word crisis, in early 2016, in addition to our firefighters already being kind of stretched and overworked, because we had a 15-member fire department, 3-5 firefighter shifts, and if a guy goes on disability of, you know, your 15-member team, one of your shifts is going to be short unless you put one of the other guys on working more hours than he should, being away from his family longer than he should, or you go out to a neighboring fire department like Manhattan Beach and bring in at a great deal of cost of overtime hours to make sure all of your shifts were staffed. So that was kind of crisis number one. And then on top of it, basically our fire station was condemned. The tower, you know, was termite ridden and structurally weak, had to be taken down. But the entire station was in jeopardy, and our guys had to be moved out into trailers. So that was injury on top of insult, or whichever way you want to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. No,
we reached
absolutely.
Kind of crisis point in the spring of 2016, and council members and citizens were concerned about our guys. I don't think there's a city anywhere in the country where people don't love their fire department. You know, they may have different opinions about the police, but boy, when it comes to fire, the firefighters, and we're kids, the Dalmatian on the fire truck, the fire hats, the badges, you know, just the kind of open door. We all love our firefighters, and it really.
Well, over here, we do the you know, the spaghetti dinner before the fire.
Sure.
Before the fireworks is at the firehouse our open house. When I used to do all the block parties, the firemen would show up at our block party in their truck, we'd feed them on the block. I mean, it was part of our community.
They would pull up there, and
you know, all the wives were all of a sudden gone because the firemen were down at the end of the street. And
what kind of kicked off this process is ordinarily in May, Memorial Day weekend, there's a pancake breakfast supporting the firefighters in the fire station. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do it in 2016. Right. Fire station was off limits.
Right.
Wow.
And what we decided to do then was, let's switch this. Let's have kind of what you were talking about. Let's have lunches. Let's have some dinners. Let's have some events to celebrate our firefighters and thank them and make them aware that we're aware of their crisis. So at the same time, Tom Backley, who's our city manager at the time, and Chief Bonanno, our fire chief, our interim fire chief at the time. He'd served 20 years earlier for a few years in Hermosa Beach and then moved on to serve in various other fire departments around the county and in other counties. And at the time he left, he kind of put in, with the stretched budget, this minimum five-member, three-shift, total of 15 firefighters, Band-Aid solution, and he'd hoped that ultimately the city was going to have a bigger solution. When he came back 20 years later, he was kind of appalled that nothing more had been done, and we were not only kind of limping along, we were in this crisis situation of overworked guys, and then ultimately the fire station was in trouble. So a bigger fix had to be examined.
That led to
and this is very much Tom Backley's way of operating, both in the city and now at Beach City's Health District. Let's get a citizens advisory committee together. Let's get members of the community, from former council members, business owners, longtime residents, etc., and let's talk about this. Let's present the facts and talk about it. Talk about the pros and cons, and that's exactly what happened. And I'll just tell you. Very quickly, with the homework that I should have done before I just reacted to, we've got to keep our fire department. I think it was unanimous. But I should say among that fire services committee were a lot of retired former firefighters, primarily from Los Angeles County Fire, who all came in already with their hands raised saying, we've got to go to County Fire. And then the rest of us in the community learned all the pros and with very few cons about going to County Fire.
So the committee was made up of, how was the committee made? How did it break down? Because there had to be a formula. We want three residents. We want a representative of the city. We want a representative of the fire department, some retired,
It wasn't with exact numbers. Again, when Tom, from the very beginning, we came in as city manager, as we were dealing with our oil crisis and a few other things. You know, because he was rather new to us when that crisis was being attacked. He just kind of got a sense of members of the community who did step up and want to be involved. You know, business owners like Ron Newman, Ron and Greg Newman, who have several restaurants. Sharky, sure you know the name. Former Councilman Pete Tucker, former fire, as I said, county firefighters. There wasn't we're going to form this committee. It's going to be 20 people and four or five. But I can tell you, as I'm sort of looking back on some of the names, it was a very broad reach to members of the community from all of those areas that both you and I have mentioned here.
How many people did you have on the committee? Was it 20?
Let's see. Yeah. Actually, maybe.
Okay.
And of course, not everybody, not all of them could come to the sort of
every meeting, right?
Meetings, exactly. Maybe we know at the very beginning during the summer of 2016, I think we met certainly monthly.
Okay.
I think a couple of we were approaching, we met a couple of times a month, and not everyone could attend. I was able to attend just about all of them, and ultimately I was asked by Chief Bonanno and Tom to moderate the two town halls we had on this. One was in August in our council chambers,
and
the other one was in late September of 2016, where we actually went to the community theater and had a hope for and did get a much bigger audience. And in the meantime, I'll say that Chief Bonanno and a couple of individual members of the committee, but primarily Chief Bonanno, was reaching out to Kiwanis, to the Women's Club, to the garden group, to every community organization in small groups to kind of present the overview of the quote-unquote crisis and the possible solution of there were sort of three proposals of status quo, which was kind of scary for all of us, especially for our firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuilding in-house, and with the word rebuilding, it meant not only the fire station, but expanding each of the shifts to have a deeper pool of firefighters to go into, which, you know, again, cost is involved in all of these things, or third option, going to Los Angeles County Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
that outreach
so listen,
happened throughout the summer.
All right, so listen, let's do a station break real quick, Joe, and when we come back,
sure,
we'll go through each of these options, Dempsey, okay?
Sure.
These primary three options, sure. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and today we have a very special topic. We're talking about county or local fire departments. Primarily, we're going to be discussing the decision-making process in Hermosa Beach, but it's something that all of the beach cities are grappling with at this point, and we're going to talk about the whys and wherefores of that. Normally, we'd give a phone number out for people to call in and ask questions, but right now we're going to focus on the discussion. So we'd love for you to call your neighbors and friends and have them tune in as well. Of course, if you're listening in podcast, share this with your family and friends. This is a very important topic for us all. And with that, Dempsey, take us through the options and why we've come to the conclusions, or why you've come to the conclusions you have.
Well, probably the most impressive thing that we were presented with at one of our earliest meetings was a legal size paper length of the three columns of status quo, rebuilding in-house, and Los Angeles County Fire Department, and then the list of services. And at the top, all three of these options share this is something would be provided. Basic life support, you know, the BLS, the EMTs, you know, coming on an emergency call. Advanced life support, that's with, you know, ambulance backup. Transport to hospital, the fire engines, the number of engines available in the fire station itself. After that, then, there's long empty spaces for both status quo and rebuilding, and a long column of X's for the things that, under contract with LA County Fire, would be provided under that contract. I'm not going to say all of them, but hazardous materials response, urban search and rescue, swift water rescue. That's not so much an issue for us. Our county lifeguards, in our case, take care of that off our beaches here. Hazardous material disclosure, a dedicated fire marshal, certified plan review analysts, certified fire inspectors. There's a long list here of services that day-to-day aren't necessary and are Hermosa Beach Fire Department were not able to provide when needed. It meant outside contracting. With part of being a part of Los Angeles County Consolidated Fire, all of this is available with the contract. Just about every service you needed would be provided. But so that's that list that was impressive. But here's the thing that I think tipped it. There are a couple things that tipped it, but here was the thing, and I alluded to it before. If one of our firefighters goes on disability through injury or accident, whatever, we're one man short. In some cases, we could be as many as two men short. And we have to go to a much more expensive option or a one that is puts our services in jeopardy by an overworked firefighter. With County Fire, if a guy calls in with a disability or he can't come to work one day, we've got a pool of 4,000 firefighters where a guy can come in immediately and fill that slot for the time necessary until the guy, you know, your regular guy who's been assigned to our station comes back. So that was something that was sort of an immediate fix for an immediate problem. The other thing is not a single one of our firefighters live in Hermosa Beach. And quite frankly, none of them live very near to Hermosa Beach. Now, Chief Bonanno, coming back, did, but he was the only one of the entire fire department who was living in Hermosa Beach. We had guys commuting as far away as like Arrowhead and in the far western parts of the San Fernando Valley. So they're commuting to work, adding to the hours they're away from their home. And with County Fire, and this is one of the reasons there were so many of the retired guys who said, God, I wish this option had been around when I was working for County Fire. I could have worked close to home, or I could have worked right here in my own town of Hermosa Beach. By going to County Fire, our guys have the option, and they've exercised that option now that we've done it, to be blended into stations as spaces are available closer to home and vice versa. We are surrounded by county firefighters here in this area that are working at stations who knows where, who are able to raise their hand and become part of the Hermosa Beach team here in what is now Station 100 of County Fire. So that was tremendously appealing, not only to the firefighters themselves, but in a way, this touched into my environmental aspirations. Think about the shortened commute time, the shortened, you know, the fewer emissions and all those. So the things started adding up just for personnel themselves. The other thing was cost. In the status quo was not an acceptable solution. And we examined to a certain extent the cost of, as we've had over the 20 years since Chief Bonanno has been gone, increasing the number of our fire department. Well, that increased the budget considerably. And in addition to that, faced with what was going to be probably about a $10 million bill for rebuilding the fire station. Now, that could be a whole discussion itself about how this came about, that by going with county, we're basically going to get the fire station we need for about $2 million. Part of it is because under the county fire, we don't need to have some of the administrative staff that when you're a single fire department having to meet all the needs, the administrative staff that is necessary. It's handled kind of district-wide. We don't have a full chief in – we don't need the administrative staff, thus we don't need the administrative space in our fire station. So there was that. I think those were the important points. One of the more interesting things that was kind of a capper on this, in the 20 years that Chief Bonanno was in other places – he had worked for a time at the Beverly Hills Fire Department, which I think is two or three stations with a $22 million budget. What we're talking, and I'm not sure what Manhattan Beach's budget is for fire, but we were talking around six, 7 million is where we've been. And I can tell you that's about where we are now, maybe a little slightly more, having gone to county. Beverly Hills had, you know, its own fire department, still does, with about a $22 million budget. When Chief Bonanno was with the fire department, the city manager at the time, he has now transferred. He's the city manager of Rancho Palos Verdes. And Rancho Palos Verdes has been with County Fire for some time. And during this process, Chief Bonanno asked the city manager, who had been at Beverly Hills, now he's at Rancho Palos Verdes with County Fire, say, have you recognized or seen any diminished service from what you experienced as city manager in Beverly Hills, going from a $22 million budget, certainly in a larger city than Rancho Palos Verdes, that going and receiving county fire services? And the honest answer from the city manager was, frankly, Pete, it's better. And that was kind of the clincher. Ultimately, you know, with these other details that would be solved by having county, that for $6 or $7 million, we are getting the kind of service we need in Hermosa Beach that even a $22 million fire department in Beverly Hills couldn't as adequately provide as going to county.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
It really is a complete answer.
So it begs the question, though, Dancy, why have we all done this before?
Well, as we predicted during this process, we thought that the whole reason for you having me on the show is that both Redondo and Manhattan are considering exactly the same thing we've done. Now, I guess that's kind of going to be up to the county as well, because you can't just demand this from the county. And there is a request, and it has to be approved. And I'm not sure how far you guys in Manhattan Beach or Redondo has gone with this, but you're quite right. There is now, seeing that the transition to county fire for Hermosa has been extremely successful, and with all the benefits that I mentioned, it's a kind of forcing the issue, and these other two communities are looking at it. When you say, why hasn't it been approached?
Well, because first of all, the positives you've mentioned, it just seems like it almost, and I don't want to weigh in on yes or no on this, but it just seems like a no-brainer to go county. This seems,
It exactly became a no-brainer for all of us sitting on the committee. And again, you know, is this too good to be true? Where is the downside? And so far, we haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. I can tell you the first thing, besides what I voiced in my letter about losing our identity, losing our branding, there was a concern that becoming large, a part of the larger, that we wouldn't be paid attention to, we wouldn't have the immediate response. That was the big question. Are we going to – if you call in and need an EMT, you got an emergency, you pretty much haven't finished the call before you hear the sirens coming from the Hermosa Beach Fire Station. That's what we were used to. And people were afraid there was going to be a lag. There wasn't going to be the quick response. And that we spent a good deal of time asking those questions. I went twice to the county dispatch center to see how they operated, which let me just tell you, this experience was not only educational, it was really fun. I mean, all of us are kids at heart when it comes to firefighters and all their equipment. I could tell you, it was great. And I can tell you that the county fire department is extremely proud of what they have to offer. That was the other thing through this process. It's such a professional organization. From the on-the-line guys up to the chief of the whole county fire department, they are proud of this organization. We got to go to where they have their warehouses, where they send out aid all over the world. When hurricanes happen in Puerto Rico, we are counted on. There's two fire departments in the United States, ours and one in Virginia, that is thought of as the international backup for disaster relief. We've got it. Right. I mean, you can hear the pride in my voice. As much as I have pride for Hermosa Beach, I'm proud that Los Angeles County has these professionals and these kinds of – I had no idea. The equipment, the scoops and the helicopters and the bulldozers. We went out on the boats, out on the bay.
What about these things? Do you get that extra ambulance that you might need?
Again, that would have probably had to come into there's going back to the basic services we have with our 15-member fire department. When a fireman goes out who's EMT as well to a call, and ultimately it's seen that patient has to be taken to the hospital, it not only tied up the EMT truck, the ambulance, And even before we transitioned to county, we were calling upon the services of McCormick at the extra cost for that. But it also ties up the one firefighter, at least, in the case if we were sending our own ambulance, at least two, because one's driving, through the check-in process at the hospital. So in terms of personnel, I believe that still happens, but we have fully implemented a contract with McCormick. And don't quote me on this because I'm not quite sure how it happens, but emergency, medical emergency, first thing, our guys roll out with our EMT truck and see if it's something they can take care of right there without calling or having to transport the patient to the hospital. When it's seen immediately that transport to hospital is necessary, that's when now I think right away they don't even put them in. McCormick comes, and McCormick is kind of, I think, on standby when a situation like this occurs, but with really no delay if it's determined, okay, this is more critical. I mean, our guys are still capable of providing the immediate life support, but when it's determined this person needs to be delivered to a hospital, it's a contract that, again, I'm not completely clear on the finances of how our contract with McCormick works, but the transport becomes then a contracted ambulance service.
Right, right. Yeah, we're wrestling with that right now. So.
Yep.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as we got deeper into it and it looked like we were going to go this direction, there were the options of how to contract that specific service, the ambulance and transport. So there were options there, too, that the city determined, along with recommendations from County Fire, the best way to go about that. And so far, everything seems to be working.
Okay, so that begs a question. So your committee met, you saw what was available from county, you put your presentation together, and you went to the community. Listening to you, it as Mark said, it seems like a no-brainer. Was that the reaction you got from the community, or were there still a lot of holdouts?
Anyone who came to a town hall, who attended one of the smaller learning sessions, I can tell you I'd say the vast majority came into it with that same first, oh, we can't give up our fire department, and left with about an 80-20, in some cases 90-10, this is the better thing to do, go to County Fire. It kind of proceeded along the same way that our fire services committee, as we learned the facts, said, kind of begging the question, why haven't we done this sooner? And it really did become pretty overwhelming, the numbers of those that were willing to come and learn and not just close their ears and react badly, or in the case, you know, even if they were sitting in the meeting, still not be convinced for whatever reasons. But the overwhelming reaction from an educated citizenry was, this is a good idea.
Once you had the
facts.
Okay,
so were there any groups in particular that were just dead set against it? Unions, or was there any specific group that just, for whatever reason, said no.
I'm glad you brought up union, because I had here in front of me, and I can tell you that our Hermosa Beach Firefighters Association, although we certainly got the indication from Aaron, who was the president, a couple of others, that in their fatigue, in their longtime service to Hermosa Beach, their love for Hermosa Beach, but their actual physical fatigue because of the conditions, their families, perhaps marriages on the verge of breaking up because of time spent away from family, there was a wide-eyed desire on the part of the firefighters that did come and listen and participate that kind of said, we got to do this. But I can tell you, they reserved their opinion until late September, early October, after this process of taking it to the community happened. They did not want to extremely
influence,
pre-bias. And then I was asked, actually, in late September 2016 to come to the fire station and receive the letter It was a two-page letter signed by Aaron Marks, at the time the president of the Hermosa Beach Firefighters Association, and I forget which of the lieutenant actually handed me the letter. And I'm looking at it, and there's a full page here in front that was describing the situation, and I'm on pins and needles because I'm waiting to hear, well, what have they determined? I mean, we really need these guys because that's what the community's concerned about. They're concerned about our guys and the health
right.
and welfare of our
mm-hmm.
guys. I said, what's their decision? I flip the page over, as I'm doing now, and there the second paragraph on the second page was, states, the Hermosa Beach Firefighters Association feels it is now our duty to voice our position and recommendation. At this time, our position and recommendation is for the city to enter into the negotiation process with the Los Angeles County Consolidated Fire District to provide contracted fire and paramedic services to the city of Hermosa Beach. And I just said, yippee. And I also found out that it was a unanimous vote. It was a unanimous vote from all of our firefighters.
So, Dempsey, though, okay, so here's the, and you know this, but, and this is something when we went through this before, and I have a feeling, the only reason I wanted this conversation is because I have a feeling we're going to go through it again. And the resident out there, first of all, we all know our fire department, and so you're afraid, are they going to be let go? Guys that I know that I've brought cookies to, are they going to be released? Are they not going to be, are they going to be out of a job? So, we've answered that, which is great. It's actually they might be better off because they might actually be able to go to a station closer to where they live or what have you.
Right.
Secondly, I'm going to assume that our fire people would want that as well. Secondly, there is no research that says response times have increased. From 2 minutes to 8 minutes to 10 minutes or anything like that, right? I mean,
that's correct.
There's no research. Our city saves a few bucks, especially in the long run when it comes to pensions and all of that. So it's a win from the city side. It's as far as services, we get more services to us. Now, one of the questions, and I think you and I kind of discussed this a little bit, but one of the little details, you know, those little community, small town field details, the equipment is Hermosa got to keep their branding, right? It's still the Hermosa Beach Fire Department.
No, it's not. No.
No.
But the
branding
Angeles,
on the trucks, doesn't it say Hermosa?
It says a Los Angeles County Fire Department Station 100.
I thought it was still branded. Oh.
No, it is definitely Los Angeles County Fire Department. You know, it's actually, I haven't even really seen, although, again, don't quote me on this, but that it says Hermosa Beach Station. I don't think that's on any of the equipment.
I thought you had mentioned that they were able to keep their branding. That was one of the positives. Maybe
no,
Tom said that.
No.
You almost want to say, can we put Los Angeles County up there underneath Manhattan Beach Station or Manhattan Beach Fire Department or something so that you can have a little
local
branding?
I don't want to misspeak here. I don't believe we see Hermosa Beach, nor would you see Hawthorne, nor would you see Rancho Palos Verdes on the engine. What you do see is the number of the station, and it's kind of cool we wound up with station 100. That's just the coincidence. We are station 100 of the Los Angeles County Fire Department, and our trucks, which are now all red, where we were white trucks for a while for whatever, but now even some of the equipment that we kept was repainted and relabeled. We are station 100. And by the way, in that process, too, there was some selling of our trucks. How much would the county give us for the equipment that we had invested in? And like any used vehicle, you know, it was an estimate of its worth, and we got credit for that, et cetera, et cetera. So during all that transition, those details were taken care of as well.
Okay, so now I have to ask. So Hermosa has done this. Sounds like it's very successful. Is the community happy?
I have not heard any complaints. Again, it seems to have been one of these things that when we were going through, those that were alarmed, who were involved in it, to want to come in and hear the story, If they weren't really even completely convinced, they kind of felt they didn't have any objection, so they quieted down, and I'm sure there was, well, we'll see, we'll see. And
all right.
I have not heard of any problems.
How long
okay, so
from...
So Manhattan is considering this. Redondo's considering this. And they're relatively small towns. What about Torrance, a much bigger city? Do we know anything about...
Torrance retains its own fire department. I haven't heard there. And as you say, they're a much larger city. The details, and it never really even came up. Obviously, what was more inclined to come up was our neighboring cities of Redondo and Manhattan.
Well, it's the cities that you have your mutual aid with, right?
Exactly. And let me tell you, there was certainly one former council member who was pretty adamant that we needed to keep this more local, and it was often talked about, you know, what should have happened? We should have had regional fire departments. You know, this should have been fixed a long time ago so that there could have been a Redondo, Hermosa, Manhattan Fire Department. And why aren't we looking at that? Why can't we do that? Well, we've kind of alluded to it in this conversation, Jackie. It's the guys. It's the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If we were to start from scratch, which that would be
from
scratch with a brand new fire department, a whole new pension and benefits plan would have to be created. And we know from our CalPERS issues and the unfunded benefits and the problems that a lot of our communities are going through, trying to come up with the money to just take care of benefits provided now, guaranteed by contract, whatever contract negotiations for a new fire department with those three entities would not be offering benefits to firefighters that would have made it feasible. You know, when L.A. County looks for new firefighters, they get thousands of applications.
Oh, my God.
You know, even under our own situation before, when we needed to advertise for a firefighter, we didn't get all that many applications from what would be otherwise qualified and welcome firefighters, because I think they kind of knew what our situation was and that maybe it wasn't the best choice. So that, you know, that's a whole other thing that I didn't get into earlier. The idea of, you know, the professionals that we can attract now. Well, first of all, it's a done deal because they're provided by the county. But we were having some difficulty advertising and getting good folks who would want to come and work for just the single fire department. So there was a guarantee of benefits and seniority for our guys transitioning to county, creating a new fire department with the three cities would have been starting from scratch. And it's just
That just seems like a financial plus. You're right, the benefits, why would I go there? But to the point of L.A. County, though, when you have 8,000 people applying for, and this is what I think that was the stat of a couple of years ago for some positions. There were 12 positions open, and they had it's one of the toughest jobs to get.
And because, again, and I had no idea until I took my tours and came back with L.A. County pride about in this day and age when some of us get very disappointed about services provided, whether they're private or government. I'm 66 years old, and I grew up in a time when, you know, I absolutely looked up to any services provided by our communities. And, you know, it's lacking in a lot of areas now. But, boy, that isn't the case with L.A. County Fire.
Here's the question. So, okay, and this is another one, and this is a what if. People say, the big one hits, okay? Yeah, I mean, the ground is shifting, and it's catastrophe, and there's no power, and everybody's down all over L.A. County. Where do the firemen in Hermosa go? Do they go to – are they sent by county to another hot spot that they feel is more in need than, say, the citizens of Hermosa?
As the needs –
I'm assuming they would leave a skeletal crew back, and that's
absolutely. I think you have to really look at this. And again, some would suggest, there's going to be a greater focus on whatever. Hey, don't forget, if there's a disaster of that nature, our guys, even in the past, were leaving our fire station to go help out.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we were supposed to do our badging ceremony in early December. And Supervisor Hahn was going to be there. It was going to be a big deal. And but we were in massive fires the first week of December of last year, as you recall. And some of our guys, like guys from every fire station in the county, were up in Northern California fighting the massive fires up there. So we had
but
to postpone
many
the badging ceremony.
Mark,
but how many
Mark,
in Hermosa were taken out of there?
I can't give you the exact number.
Because they were county.
Our guys were all already, you know, as need is, and if that mutual aid that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And again, this is just the dedication of these firefighters. They're going to go where the need is. And I have great, having seen the dispatch center operate, I have great faith that the right decisions will be made to deal with the problem at hand without putting any community in jeopardy. And if it looks like a community is in jeopardy, they'll immediately fix that and send resources.
Mark, with county, like what happened in New York City on 9/11, all of the closest fire departments went to Ground Zero, and because in New York City it's all one big giant fire department. They don't have individual things. So fire departments from Queens and Brooklyn, Staten Island, came in to fill those empty houses because those houses – personnel were down at Ground Zero.
So they just
So if Hermosa people have to go someplace, county will shift another group of people from an area that's not affected into it to be in the house to handle Hermosa.
Yeah.
And again, we have mutual aid with the beach cities.
Yep.
It's pretty limited. You know, so county, you just have much bigger resources.
And county,
I think that's a great way to look at it, Jackie, what you described as New York City. Just think of Los Angeles County and the Consolidated Fire District, the people they serve, that's their community. No matter how big or how small, the people in that big community all have to be served, just like in New York, when that did that, they had to be served, and without leaving a weakness back at home base, but it's just like a big Hermosa. L.A. County is just a big community that we all live and need fire service for.
So one of the reasons, too, if Redondo goes county, that pushes us into county, because once you are county, then it's just a given you have that mutual aid because you're all part of the same family.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. But still, there is, and I'm not sure what the letter of the law is, the letter of the agreement, no community is going to be left to burn. I mean, let's say if Manhattan Beach, even as they're considering this, still is the Manhattan Beach Fire Department, and Redondo has gone county and we're county, there are going to be resources sent. I mean, the billing process and all of that will be taken care of after the fact. But no one is – we all respond before.
Got it.
We all respond now, and we'll continue to respond. Certainly financially and logistically, the better option would seem to me if the county's willing to – entertain the idea of both Redondo and Manhattan joining Los Angeles County Fire Service. It kind of does, I'll use the word, it sounds like a kind of like a no-brainer. And we thought this might be what would happen as the success of our transition was demonstrated, that our neighboring communities would be considering exactly what they're considering now.
How long did the process take? Starting from when you were thinking about it, where we are right now, starting the committee, getting the approval from county, and then switching to county, what time frame was that? What span was that?
Well, as I said, we first started having these meetings in the town halls through the end of 2016.
Yeah, but you had the committee before that. You had to have the...
No, the committee came in spring of 2016, right about May and June, when we couldn't do the pancake breakfast. I mean, that was kind of the call to arms. And then this process that was very ad hoc, certainly led by Chief Bonanno. He was, you know, like anything, you need a charismatic leader, a knowledgeable, charismatic leader to feel confident and to trust. And I can't speak highly enough of Chief Bonanno.
Did they have approval from LA County? Did they have?
Yes. Oh, yes. Now, again, that we had suggested consideration of this. I believe we got the open door to fully explore by around November or so. Again, don't quote me. I could go through my papers of 2016. So, look, we wouldn't have pursued it, wasted our time, if we knew it was going to be a closed door. But the indication was from county that we could pursue this, and they were providing the information, the cost, et cetera, so that we, again, could pursue this with knowledge of all the little details, as you said. Mm-hmm. And then I think when council approval came, and I believe that was late 2016 or early 2017, I'll just cut to the chase. County Fire Service started on December 31st, 2017. We had our badging ceremony then, like the day before, and there was a party at what was the form of the mermaid, whatever it became, of the guys just sort of saying, and longtime retired Hermosa firefighters came out. Many of our guys, you know, knew they were going to be staying on with, and that was the other part of the process too, making sure that at least three engineers stayed for each of the shifts so that those who knew the neighborhoods, those, you know, would negotiate our 1.3 square miles and get the trucks or the EMT safely. So all of that was, and I can't even tell you right now for sure how many of our guys from before opted to stay with us or to at least ask county if they could stay with us. But I know there's a lot of new faces, and I haven't heard anything but the happiness of our guys who I hope got positions certainly closer, if not really close to where they live. But the main thing is they remain Los Angeles County firefighters with all of their benefits. And
so none of
families,
the personnel, none of the personnel lost out. Nobody lost their jobs. They were either placed else or remained
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. And I can tell you, because I read off the name of everyone. I was the one who emceed the badging ceremony, which was a lot of fun. With the county fire chief, I should remember his name. He's a great guy, and the local chief who works out of the Hawthorne, Chief Hale, who's kind of our local chief. Now the badging. So I called the name of every one of our Hermosa Beach firefighters who came up and was given then the county badge.
Dempsey, we're over time, but I have one question, guys. I got to ask because it is the Chamber of Commerce. Where did the local businesses stand with all of this, Ron?
When you asked the question earlier about were there any groups that opposed, I don't know of any group that opposed. I can't tell you honestly if the Chamber of Commerce put their seal of approval. I think they did. Ron and his son Greg and the others who were business owners like me and like the others came over very quickly to this.
Well, they
is a
are
good
the
idea.
Chamber of Commerce.
We need
so,
to do
yeah.
this. Yeah, well, there you go. So sort of they were ad hoc represented. Yep.
Got it. Thank you.
All right.
Well, gentlemen, we got to wrap this up.
We got to wrap it up.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Well, you're very
it's
welcome.
Great
thank
having
you for
you.
The opportunity.
No, you thank laid it out real well.
Give my, yes, give my love to Moira and Charlie and
thank
everybody.
You. And thank you to your family, Joe. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. And this was a great topic and someone great, but we're going to have Dempsey back to talk about some of the other initiatives that he's involved with, certainly the solar panels and the battery together are a complete package for self-sustained power when the power goes out. It doesn't have to be a tsunami. It can be many other kinds of events that cause the power to go out, and you have power in your home. Certainly if you have medical conditions that require power or anything like that, that's key, and that technology is available, and the costs are coming down rapidly. So we're going to have another show about that. Thank you so much. Thanks, Mark.
Oh, thank you, guys. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend. And Dempsey, wonderful getting to know you this way, at least, and I hope we can meet and talk further.
We will, Mark. Thank you. Same here.
Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Have
thank
a
you, Jackie.
Great weekend, everyone.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.